Good news today for the U.S. aviation industry. Billions of dollars of good news.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Steve Chiatakis. Japan will replace its 80 fighter jets with 42 new planes from U.S. company Lockheed Martin. The announcement comes on the heels of the death of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il and fears of instability in the region. David Gleaves is an independent aviation analyst. He joins us for more on this. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how much of Japan's announcement has to do with the death of Kim Jong-il?
The announcement was expected by the end of the month. It looks like the announcement's been brought forward by a few days in reaction to the death of the North Korean's president.
And what explicitly is the message that this announcement sends? What is Japan saying by doing this now?
Japan is saying that it's going to maintain its strength. It has some relatively old fighter jets at the moment, and it's saying that it is going to be, it's presenting an iron fist. It's also sending a message to the Chinese as well, who are starting to get a little more active on the Japanese borders in terms of the northern area of Japan. So it's saying that although we're a country that's been suffering recently, we're still strong and we still take our defense very seriously indeed.
Tell me a little about the plan that Japan is buying.
The Japanese are buying the Lockheed F-35 fighter jet. The unit costs about $75 to $100 million. It's a highly capable aeroplane, but at the moment it does have some significant development problems. It's running very late in its development, and there were some real structural problems that have been found in some of the variants, which is causing the U.S. government to have its own minor heart attack over this program in itself. So whether it will ever be delivered and work to the Japanese is going to be quite an interesting question over time.
David Gleave is an independent aviation expert. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much indeed for your time.
Now to New York City, where Cornell University has won the rights to develop a new science campus with free land and $100 million in infrastructure improvements from the city. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith explains why the deal might make sense for New York.
Cornell University will build a tech and engineering campus on New York City's Roosevelt Island. The 11-acre campus will serve a couple thousand students. At a press conference, Mayor Michael Bloomberg says this project will redefine the city's economic future.
The campus is expected to spin off something like 600 new companies over the next three decades, which will create up to 30,000 permanent jobs. In a word, this project is going to be transformative.
A project like this could also help New York get a little economic distance from the financial sector, says Rolf Pendahl with the Urban Institute.
The dependence of the city and the state on Wall Street for its revenues is really pretty extreme.
But can dropping a building in the middle of a city really change its economic DNA? Pendahl says if it's done right, yes.
Building a rich social, intellectual, and entrepreneurial network that then becomes embedded into the city's economic fabric.
The campus will reportedly be finished in 2017. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. The Dow is up 259 points at 12,025. The Nasdaq is up 2.5% at 2589. The S&P 500 is also up 2.5% at 1,235. Home builders had a bit more work building homes in November, but 2011 is still going to be one of the worst years on record. And a cringeworthy number for you this morning. The average American family spent $4,155 filling up at the gas pump this year. That's a record.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com. And by Constant Contact, recognizing small businesses for their hard work and dedication during the holiday season and all year long. ConstantContact.com.
In Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport holds the title of busiest airport in the world. That's expected to change next year. And the new number one is Beijing Capital Airport in China. We sent our China correspondent Rob Schmitz to Beijing's airport to take a look at the differences between flying in China and flying in the U.S.
So I'm outside Beijing Capital Airport. It's 9:15 in the morning. I'm about to go through check-in and security. Let's see how long this takes.
The first thing you notice inside Beijing's airport is people, lots of them. This is China, after all. But the passengers aren't standing around waiting in line. They're moving fast.
So I just got out of security, and it is now 9:29. That took 14 minutes. Let me remind you that this will soon be the world's busiest airport.
Aviation industry analyst Liz Thompson had a similar experience on a recent visit to China.
I had someone who picked me up at the gate, and I was out of there in 10 minutes.
Thompson says China is taking its new role of home to the world's busiest airport seriously. Airports throughout China have been built big and well-staffed.
They've kind of got the systems and everything in place, knowing that there's this massive influx of people.
And a massive influx of goods, too. Last year, Hong Kong became the world's largest freight airport, overtaking Memphis. As the global economic balance tilts towards China, so does the aviation industry. And it doesn't stop at airports. Thompson says Chinese airlines are dominating orders for A380s and 787s, the world's largest passenger airplanes.
That's a recognition that they are going to be expanding internationally and that they need to provide a product which is competitive.
And that means bigger seats with more legroom and better meals than the typical Chinese airline fare of pickled vegetables and rice gruel. Thompson says once those adjustments are made, Chinese airlines with their free meals, free pillows, and free bag check-ins won't look so bad to Americans. In Beijing, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, a grocery store in the UK has been selling reindeer pâté, branding the meat spread as a farm-raised relative of Rudolph. According to the Daily Mail, animal activists complained, but the attention backfired, and the grocery has sold through its stock of canned reindeer. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, what about a thousand jobs?
Kodak decided, let's let the camera business go. And it went to Japan. With digital, you make your money by selling cameras.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What Kodak learned from that mistake back then could mean more jobs now. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.